What's happening? You guys doing well? Annapolis Area Christian Upper School, right? Not middle school, not lower school. We're the upper school here. It's great to be here. Thank you for that gracious introduction. We are so excited to be part of what God's doing in the city of Annapolis. We're banding with a number of other churches this Christmas for something called City of Peace. You can check it out. It's a total side note here, cityofpeace.info. And it's just a chance to share the gospel with our area by meeting local needs. So if you or your family or friends want to be part of that, join in with us. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. We're just going to look at three verses. If you have your Bibles, you can open them with me here, and the scripture will be on this screen behind me. I'd like to read it, and then we're going to take a few minutes to get into it here. Sound good? All right. Psalm 103, verses 15 to 18. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And this is God's word. Father, as we look at these few verses, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would illuminate truth to our hearts. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and friends in this room. Thank you for what you are doing in their lives in this moment, in this time, at this school. Jesus, the impact you're having through Annapolis Area Christian School all over our county. Lord, we ask that you would meet us here, that you would convict us, that you would comfort us, and that we would leave here changed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's this game you might be familiar with my son plays. Here's a picture of it. Anybody know this game? Anybody play this game? Let me see here. Yeah, there's a few of you. Some of you are like, Mom and Dad, don't let me play this game. Others are like, I play this game way too much. It's called Fortnite. And Fortnite is a game, if you're familiar with it. And what I like to call these few verses here in Psalm 103 is they're really the Fortnite verses. And you say, well, Joey, why are these verses the Fortnite verses? And it's because Psalm 103 is written by David, inspired by the Spirit. And Psalm 103, like many of the Psalms, are actually songs. And Psalm 103 reaches its crescendo here in verse 15. And it's amazing, the crescendo that it reaches is actually highlighting the shortness of human life. I don't know if you know that, but your life, my life, our lives here in these skins, in this world, is short. And in Fortnite, if you've ever played the game, or you've maybe watched your brother play the game, maybe you've watched your brother play the game way too much, in Battle Royale, there's a player or a squad, and they're trying to be the last team standing. And the teams get airdropped onto this map, and over the course of the round, the safe area of the map starts to shrink down in size due to an incoming storm. And if you're really good at this game, like if you're one of the best players of this game, if you're like Ninja, who's one of the best players of this game, your round might last 20 or 30 minutes, and then it's game over. If you're not good at the game, like I've played with my son a couple times, you might last 30 seconds, and then your game is over. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows no more. Our time in these skins, your time in your body, sitting in these chairs, are short. It's limited. Visually, Fortnite is this game of bright fields, right? Grass and flowers. And yet, in a matter of moments, it's all gone. The player, you and I, we're like mankind. The grass and the flowers in the field are temporary, they're ephemeral. The hot wind blows through and it dries it out. And listen, it's gone, and the psalmist says, its place knows it no more. And here's the problem with Fortnite. Here's the deceptive problem with Fortnite. When your life is ended in Fortnite, you've got this thing called a controller in your hand, and there's a button on there called restart. And you can restart the game and play again. And that feels good, and you can play a lot, you can play many times. And this is how oftentimes we live our lives in this world. Maybe you're living your life in this world in this way, where you think that I just have a number of restarts. I can just keep hitting restart on my life. I can just keep hitting restart, just like I play a video game. But here's the thing. You only have one life to live. You only have a certain amount of time in these skins, in this world, and then your life is evaporated. And when that happens, there's no reset. You don't get to push reset at the end of your life. I'm thinking about my grandfather. Lived 85 years. Worked for NASA. Served his family. Loved Jesus. A simple-hearted man. In the last days of his life, he would go to Sam's Club here in Annapolis. And you know what he would do every morning? He would walk around Sam's Club. And he would eat all the food samples in Sam's Club. Any of you with me here? Okay. And this was his day. I mean, that was how he got his walk in. And then he would come home and he would lay down for a nap. And then one day he did his rhythm. He walked through Sam's Club, ate all the samples, went home to take a nap. No reset button. Woke up in the presence of Jesus forever. I'm thinking about my friend Tiffany and her sister Shannon, whose dad passed away without any expectation. They were graduates of ACS many years ago. I'm thinking about a guy named Evan, 40 years old, in our church. Died of cancer over the last year. I'm thinking about my friends Landrick and Kirsten, whose son lived 9 months in her womb, and he never got to take a breath. Lost his life as a stillborn. I'm thinking about 2 children of my own, 4 weeks, 8 weeks in my wife's womb, never got to take a breath. Life is like a vapor. It is short, and there's no reset button. And some of us have been living like there are endless resets on your time in this world. And many of us have so easily bought into the prevailing lie of our culture that the purpose of life is just to be happy, and the purpose of life is all about you, and the purpose of life is to be entertained and have fun and do whatever is good for you. And if you're like me and you've ever tried to live that way, you know it gets empty really fast because there's not meaning in that. You start to go through the motions. You start to get apathetic. You start to get cynical. I mean, let's just be honest in here. You know, this is a Christian school, but I'm not assuming everybody in this room is a Christian. I'm not even assuming everybody in this room wants to be in this room. Maybe you're here today and you're just like, I feel done with all this. I'm empty, I'm drained, I'm dry, I'm cynical, I'm angry. Maybe at the school, maybe at the church, maybe at God. And I would ask you the question, if you look back over the last several months or years of your life, what were the things that you were actually living for? And some of us are just living for ourselves and how we treat our friends or our brothers or sisters and our family or our parents. And this morning, what I want you to know, and the painful truth of the first part of this text that we're looking at, is that the safe area of the map of your life is shrinking. And you only have one life because you are going to take your last breath and there's going to be no reset. And if you stop reading Psalm 103 at this point in this verse, you're like, thanks, Joey. Glad you came today. Don't ever come back. Because it's not good news. I want you to feel the weight of that. We could just take the masks off here for a second and say, life is hard. This world is hard. And there's truths in the scripture that are hard. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But all through scripture, there is this transition word that we find at the beginning of verse 17. And without these next two verses, our life in this world, like so many people who live all around us, are living without hope in this world. But this word, but, transitions us. But, writes David, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. In contrast to the ephemeral nature of our time and skins in this world, God gives us the deepest thing we are longing for when we're actually playing Fortnite, a reset. And the reset he gives us isn't just a button that you just keep pushing. The kind of reset that God gives us, the kind of reset that God does in the human heart, is a reset that is one time, and it's forever. And that is incredible news for us. The reset that God does in us, follow with me here in verse 17, is steadfast. What does this word steadfast mean? It means faithful, consistent, ongoing. It means that even though life goes up and down, and even though there's inconsistencies all around you, and even though we know that our life in these skins, in this world, will end, God is faithful and consistent. He is steadfast. Some of our lives are completely up in the air. You're just facing waves in relationship, in your home life, at school. The incredible news of the gospel and hope in this passage is that God is steadfast. He is with you every moment of every day, wherever you are, no matter how bad you feel, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how painful it is. God is steadfast, in complete contrast to the grass of the field and the flowers that fade. God is steadfast. But he's not just steadfast here and now, consistent, faithful in our lives. He is, as the psalmist says here in verse 17, everlasting. Let me read you some words that describe this word everlasting. Long duration. Forever and ever. Evermore. It's a word that throws back to before time, and it's a word that throws forward into the heavens and into eternity. It is that God is eternal. It is that he is everlasting. It is a continual, perpetual existence. When God hits reset in the human heart, there is no end. We are actually launched out of these skins when we die into eternity with our Father in heaven, something that lasts, something that does not fade. And what is this steadfast, everlasting nature of God? And we find it here in verse 17. It is the steadfast and everlasting love. Love. And what is love? One of the most confused words in our culture. Is it a feeling? Sure, you could define love as a feeling, but it's not a feeling, not according to the scripture. What is love? Love is a demonstration of something. And if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this. We have this ephemeral, you know, never-lasting, short, brief life. And then we have the everlasting, eternal love of God. How did God demonstrate that love? Romans 5, 6 through 8 says it this way. While we were still weak, that's you and I, that's all people, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows, he demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There we were on the map. The storm was coming in. The playing field was getting small. That's the human condition. That's all of us. And God dropped into the game. But he didn't come as just any player. He came as an eternal, everlasting, sacrificial player. The whole point of a video game of Fortnite is to try to take others' lives. But Jesus came in flesh with skin on to die in our place that our life might be hidden in his forever. He sent one into the map who is eternal, who would never die. How do you get this? How do you get this reset? How do you get this life in you? Verse 17, his steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Now, this word is all. The idea here is we come to our end. You come to the place where you're not just putting on some kind of religious mask and you're just going through the motions, but you come to the place where you realize you're in the game, it's you, it's God, you have nothing. You don't have reset buttons. You can't do it on your own. The end is coming, and you realize, I want to live forever with my King, with my God. And so you come down, bowing down before him, surrendering yourself, and saying in this language of the New Testament, I repent of my sin, I repent of my limitations, I repent of my weakness, I turn from all the stuff that I've ever done, and I'm throwing myself at your feet, King Jesus. You died on the cross for my sin, you took my place, you came with skin on, you did for me what I could not do for myself, you took my place, you substituted yourself in my wake, taking on my sin, and I got to go free. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be born into a new life. This is what it means to be born again. And do you know what happens in the wake of this reality? Because some of you have made this profession of faith. Some of you are in Christ and you are following him. Some of you have not experienced this. But do you know what happens when we are filled with the new life in Christ? It keeps going here in Psalm 17. It says that what happens is his righteousness extends to children's children. Another way to translate that is to generations to generations. And all of a sudden, the shortness of life, the grass and the flowers that get blown over by the wind, all of a sudden, life here in these skins, in this world, starts to have eternal significance. You no longer are just here for yourself. You're no longer just here for a short time, and then you're gone, and it's all emptiness. You have been reset to the core that you get to join the rescue mission that God is doing in the world and doing in your life and doing in the life of your friends. And do you know what this means? It means that a generation of young people can be raised up. And that's the question as we close this morning. There's one of two things. There's one of two opportunities you have. Are you going to play the rest of your life as it passes away, as the world passes away and fades away? Or are you going to spend the rest of your days in these skins, standing eternally for something of significance, something that doesn't fade, something that is not just blown away by the wind, something that is not just destroyed by the hot air? Every waking moment, every situation of every day, you have this opportunity. Why? Because this might be your last breath. You don't know what God has in store. And life in this world, in these skins, is too short not to live every moment for his glory. And he has provided the resource in Jesus for you to do that. So I want to close here in a simple prayer. And I want to ask you a question. I want to give you a chance to respond here this morning. And I just want to say, listen, you don't need to feel like you have to jump in with the crowd here. But if you are here and you have made this profession of faith in Christ, and you're like, today is a moment where I want to mark the moment again, I want to invite you to stand, okay? And I'd like to pray for you, and I'd like you to stand as a witness to your friends here. It's a bold step. It's a step of courage. Do not do it just because others are standing around you. But if you in your heart of hearts are a follower of Christ, or for the first time this morning you've received the gospel, I want to invite you to stand right now. If you want to live your life for this generation, for God's glory, stand with me right now. And I'd like to pray for you. Thank you. And I'm thankful for those who are saying, who are maybe sitting here saying, I'm not there right now. It's okay to be honest about that. My prayer is that you would keep seeking and asking questions about God. He will make himself known. But you look around this room to those who are standing, and I'd like to pray for you. And it's not just a prayer for today in this moment, but this is a prayer for years and years to come in our county and what God is doing in our areas. His gospel goes forth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these students and teachers and educators. Lord, this is a moment that we're marking before you. We find in verse 16 of this psalm, Lord, 15 and 16, our days are short. And my brothers and sisters here, Lord, are standing definitively before you, empowered by your Spirit, desiring to live their life for your glory. And I ask you would fill them, freshly filled with your Spirit, Lord, that they would go today into their homes, into their neighborhoods, into their classrooms, and they would be a generation, Lord, that you would use to see the good news of Jesus go out all over our world. Lord, that the map of our world would see Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for the promise that your love is everlasting. Everlasting, Lord. Thank you that our days are not just here and now, but they will extend into eternity with you forever. Lord, bless these students and faculty. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.